Turn with me this evening to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19 will be our scripture reading this evening, as well as our text, so I will not reread those verses. Genesis 22, 1 through 19. We will also read, as part of our scripture reading this evening, Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. Let's first read Genesis 22. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. We read God's word that far. Now we turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, where God's word gives us a commentary on that narrative in Genesis 22. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. The great faith of this patriarch, Abraham, is well known to us. Not only is it displayed here in Genesis 22 in a great test, but if we think back, we can remember the other events that showed Abraham's great faith in Jehovah God. The great faith was manifested early on in Abraham's life. You remember when he dwelled with his father and extended family in a land called Haran. And there in that land of Haran, he was settled down. Perhaps he had a house, and he had servants, and he had his cattle, and he was connected with his extended family. And then God came to him and said, Abraham, now you must go. You must go to a land which you do not yet know of, and you must traverse in that land, a land that I will give to your children. And immediately Abraham arose, took along his wife and nephew Lot and the belongings that he could carry with him, and took that journey to the land of Canaan, south of where he was. And there he traversed for the rest of his life, living in tents. He showed his great faith by obeying God. And this great faith was also seen in his trust in God's promise. You remember, God had promised Abraham that he would have a son. In spite of Abraham's old age, and in spite of Sarah's old age, God promised Abraham that he would have a son, and that this son would become a great nation, and the children that came forth from Abraham would inherit the land of Canaan, in which he now lived. Abraham trusted this promise, these promises of God. He showed his great faith. And yet, we also know that Abraham did not always show such strong faith. God had to strengthen that faith. We see his weak faith when he went into Hagar, Sarah's handmaid. There he tried to help God fulfill that promise. He sinned. He did not obey God. He disobeyed God by lying with Hagar, and he did not trust that God would give him a son through Sarah, as he had promised. But through this event, the sin, and through the many other events of history that Abraham experienced, God strengthened Abraham's faith. He strengthened Abraham's faith by chastising Abraham for his sin, as he does us. He strengthened Abraham's faith by reminding Abraham of that everlasting covenant that continued with him in spite of his sin. Then he strengthened Abraham by fulfilling that long-awaited promise of a son. He fulfilled that promise by giving to Abraham and to Sarah a son, Isaac, in their old age. Now, in Genesis 22, Abraham is towards the end of his life. God had shaped him. God had molded him into the person that he was at that point. God had strengthened Abraham's faith all his life. And now God brings upon Abraham the hardest and most difficult test that Abraham had ever faced. So consider with me this test of Abraham under the theme, the ultimate test of Abraham. First, the test. Second, the faith. And third, the promise. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." Tempt. Does God tempt? That word tempt literally means to test or to put on trial. In reference to God, that word does not mean that God tempts in the sense that Satan tempts. Satan tempts by holding out something evil, something sinful. And he puts it before our eyes, before our affections, and says, "This is good." And he makes this evil and sinful action or thing look good. And he has that evil motive behind it. He wants us to fall. He wants us to fail. He wants us to sin. But God does not tempt in such a way. Such tempting God does not do and cannot do, says James in James 1 verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." This was a test. God tests. He puts on trial. He puts us on trial. He tests us as he tests Abraham here. This kind of test can be compared to the testing of a piece of pottery that a potter does. You know, a potter, after shaping and molding his piece of art, perhaps a pot, he places that work into a hot compartment called a kiln. He does that to test his work. But that potter does not place that piece of work in his kiln so that it would fail. No, he has two good purposes. He does it, first of all, to cause it to display its strength. He wants that piece of work to come forth from that hot kiln without cracking, without breaking, to show forth its strength. And secondly, the second purpose of that potter is to strengthen that piece of work. For in that hot kiln, that clay vessel would be hardened, prepared for what it was made. So also God strengthens and displays Abraham through this test. Those are the two purposes that God has in testing Abraham and in testing us. This test of Abraham was a test of Abraham's love for God, first of all. Secondly, it was a test of Abraham's obedience to God. And third, it was a test of Abraham's trust in Jehovah. This was a test of Abraham's love for God. Abraham loved God. God had shaped Abraham and shown to Abraham a great love all his life. And that is why Abraham loved God. He had experienced the love of God, and now he had great love for his father. And now God tests that love. God says, "You love me. Do you love me? You love me more than your son?" He said, "Abraham, take now that son, my son Isaac, thine only son whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering." this was Abraham's only son. This was Abraham's only son from this point of view. And Abraham had recently sent away Ishmael, his other son, the son that he had with Hagar. Abraham loved that son. He had sent him away, and now God says, your only son left at home, he must die. Isaac was his only son also, from this point of view, that this was the only son he had conceived with Sarah. Abraham and Sarah had waited for almost 100 years for a son, and now God says, he must die. God was saying, Abraham, you love me. You love me more than your son. But Abraham did not only have to give up his son. No, no. God laid out a specific manner in which Abraham had to give up his son. Abraham had to be active in this procedure. He had to sacrifice his son. That is, bluntly, he had to take his son and kill him with a knife. And then he had to burn his son completely upon an altar. God said, you love me? Out of love for me, do this. Not only that, Abraham could not simply get it over with. No, God said, take a journey to Moriah. And that, as it is found in the text, was a three-day journey. 3 days during which Abraham must have pondered this devastating command in his mind and heart. Kill my son out of love for God. And oh, how his heart must have felt like exploding when on the way to that mountain, Isaac asked him, here's the fire, here's the wood, but where, Father, is the lamb? Abraham, though he did not say it, must have thought, you, my son, you are that lamb. God was saying, Abraham, do you love me? Show it. Show it by doing this out of love for me. How much do we love God? Oh no, God may not ever command you and I to sacrifice our own child. But how great is your love for Jehovah? Our love ought to be a love willing to give up our only son in the very manner that God commands us to. How much does your love for your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife compare to your love for God? This was a test of Abraham's love. But it was also a test of Abraham's obedience. Here was a command that Abraham had to face. A hard command. A command to Abraham's mind and heart that must have seemed contradictory. God was not pleased with murder. Abraham knew that. And yet, now comes forth from the mouth of God to Abraham, kill your son. This was logically contradictory in his mind. And not only that, the emotions must have been terrible. Contrary emotions going back and forth. Obey God, but I love my son. Abraham must not have slept that night. He must have tossed in his bed all night as he thought of this devastating command. I must obey this, he thought. But it does not feel right. It does not seem right. And oh, how true it is for us when we know the command of God in each situation of life and it doesn't feel right to obey Him. Perhaps it doesn't seem as contradictory as it seemed to Abraham. But when we're in the midst of the struggles of life and we know what we ought to do, but everyone else is doing it or not doing it, the peer pressure presses upon us. And it doesn't feel right, it doesn't seem right to obey God. Then we're tested. Here's another example, a hard example. A friend or a brother in Christ is disciplined in our congregation. And we know what obedience is. We know from God's word what we ought to do. We know we ought to rebuke that brother in love. We know we ought to withhold a certain fellowship with that brother or sister. And oh, how it seems so contrary to our very nature. It doesn't seem right. It does not feel right. Then our obedience is put to the test. Abraham's love and obedience was tested here. And thirdly, Abraham's trust in God and His promises was also tested. To understand this test of Abraham's trust, we must understand that Abraham did not only value Isaac because he had that family attachment to him and because he was his son. He did. He loved his son. But he loved Isaac also because he valued the promises that God had made in Isaac. Do you know the precious? Do you remember the precious promises that God had given to Abraham? In Isaac, God had said, a great nation would come forth from Isaac. Isaac would have children, and Isaac's children would have more children, and they would become a great nation, as many as the sand on the seashore and as the stars in the sky. But it was in Isaac. That's what God said in Genesis 21. In Isaac shall thy seed be called, not anyone else. And now God says, Isaac must die. How was God going to fulfill that promise? And then also, especially this, there were other promises connected to Isaac, but there was one especially grand promise, and it was the promise of the Messiah. The Messiah was supposed to come from Isaac's generations. Well, that's not only important to Abraham, but that's important to us. If Isaac died, how would that Messiah come? The seed. The seed was the Messiah. The promise was, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That seed is not only the great nation that will come in the generations of Abraham, but that seed was the Messiah. And God now says, Isaac, the one in whom all these promises seem to depend on, that one must die. Oh, how Abraham had to trust God. That trust was tested. God tests our trust in His promises as well. Here's one promise. A promise that is regularly repeated perhaps to us, but a promise that must be repeated again and again. That promise in Romans 8:28, familiar to all of us. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things do work for our good. That's the promise of God. And how often it is that we are in the midst of that trial, that heartache. And that promise, that trust in that promise is put to the test. By faith, Abraham passed his ultimate test. And by faith, we do too as well. Abraham obeyed God's command by faith. He did obey. Immediately he obeyed. The next morning after God gave that command, Abraham woke up, if he had slept that night. He got out of bed and he got ready everything that he needed for that journey and that act. He cut that wood necessary for the burnt offering and for the altar. He got his son Isaac ready. He got his servants ready. He packed that donkey. And he took that 3-day journey to Mount Moriah. And there at the base of that mountain, perhaps, he left those servants. He left that donkey. And he loaded that wood, relieving that donkey, and placed it upon his son Isaac's back. Perhaps a teenager at this time. And he himself took the fire or the coals in his hand and tied with a rope around his waist a knife. And he and his son, the two of them, trekked to that mountaintop without a lamb. And reaching that spot, that particular spot that God had designated, Abraham got that wood off his son's back and built that altar, that table-like structure. And then he took that rope and he tied his son, hands and feet, together as he would a lamb. And picking up his son, a willing son, placed Isaac upon that wooden altar. And then took his knife and raised it above his head to kill his only beloved son. And then that voice from heaven shouted, "Abraham, Abraham, stop." And Abraham stopped in time. God said, "Abraham, you love me? Will you obey me? Will you trust me?" Abraham obeyed out of fear for Jehovah. He obeyed God. He certainly did. Don't doubt that. God's word says that he did. Hebrews 11 verse 17 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up his son." He did. He offered up Isaac, and he truly did obey God. He did not carry out that act the whole way. But in his heart, he obeyed God and sacrificed his son. And he did everything necessary up to the point that God stopped him. He obeyed God. But it was only by faith that he could do this. Hebrews 11 says that, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offer up Isaac." Faith. Faith, as our Heidelberg Catechism defines it, is a certain knowledge and an assured confidence in the Word of God. So what did Abraham have a certain knowledge about and have an assured confidence concerning so that he could carry out this act and pass the test? What was it? He knew and had a confidence, especially in the fact that God was his covenant God. That's really all he needed to know. Well, God had revealed many more things in his word, as he does to us in the scriptures. But God had established a covenant, an unfailing, unconditional covenant with Abraham. He had told Abraham that God, Jehovah, was his friend. And Abraham knew this. He had a certain knowledge about this. And because he knew that God was his friend, he knew that all the promises that came from Jehovah God were promises that a friend would never break. A friend does not lie. A friend does not break promises. And Abraham knew this. He had a certain knowledge about this and an assured confidence in this word of God. And by this faith, he passed the test. He passed this test of love. God, as the covenant God, had revealed his amazing love to Abraham. So much so that Abraham was filled with love for God. And he could not help but love Jehovah. Out of love, that great love for God, he sacrificed his son. He passed the test of love and he passed the test of obedience. He knew that God, as his friend, as his covenant God, would not command him to do anything that was not for his good. He knew that. He had a certain knowledge about that. And so, he went through with obeying God and passed that test of obedience. He passed the test of trust. No, it wasn't a blind trust. Abraham struggled to trust God. By faith, Abraham knew that God loved him. But he also knew that God was going to keep his promises. Remember that struggle? Abraham knew, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac had to live in order for God to fulfill all these promises. The promise of a great nation. The promise of the inheritance of the land of Canaan. The promise of the Messiah that would come in Isaac's line. Abraham knew that Isaac had to live. So he struggled. He struggled in trusting God. And we see the struggle in Abraham's mind in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 19. Abraham accounted. That is, he logically came to the conclusion that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. If Isaac had to die, Abraham thought, if I have to kill my son, and if God would fulfill his promises through my son, then God will certainly raise my son up from the dead. And so he trusted. He passed that test of trust in God. Hold firm in faith. Hold firm in faith, beloved people of God. For you truly are beloved. Have that certain knowledge and that assured confidence that Jehovah is your covenant God. Do not doubt that. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ. There you see the love of your friend. The love of Jehovah. There you see the way that God can make that covenant with you. That friendship with you. And then hold on, dear by faith to that covenant. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to love, trust, and obey God sometimes. It is. By faith, do it. By faith in that love of God, that covenant of God, do it. But it's going to be hard. Obedience to God, trust in God's word, and a love for God and the word of God is going to come at a cost. We are, in a sense, going to lose if we, by faith, love, trust, and obey our Heavenly Father. As a church, obedience to God's word, a love for that word concerning marriage, the doctrines of marriage, and the doctrines of creation, and the many other doctrines that are being denied in the world today, a love for that word of God, and obedience to God's word comes at a cost. We will lose in a certain sense. We won't grow numerically. We're going to lose many members, perhaps. We're going to be persecuted. That comes at a cost. And as the last days approach, we who have faith in Christ Jesus might lose. By loving God, obeying God, and confessing our faith in Christ Jesus, we might lose our own lives. Or, like Abraham, the life of a son, or a daughter, or a loved one. By faith, we will pass these tests. Pray for such faith, for such grace. But we will profit. Abraham profited. That is, he benefited through these tests. He benefited through greater faith. God strengthened Abraham's faith through these tests. He strengthened Abraham's faith in three ways. First, he strengthened Abraham's faith by giving him that declaration of his approval. We see that in verse 12. Now I know, God says to Abraham, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Now I know, God says. This does not indicate that God did not know Abraham's fear of him. This does not indicate that God did not know Abraham would pass this test. This does not show that God did not know Abraham's great faith. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, and all the scripture shows that God is great, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He for sure knew Abraham's faith. He was the very one that had given Abraham the faith to pass this test and all the tests of his life. God spoke this way in order to strengthen Abraham's faith. Do you see how this declaration of approval strengthened Abraham's faith? God says, now I know, Abraham. Now I know that thou fearest me. And to know that God knows your fear of him comforts you, shows you that God has worked a faith in you. And with that knowledge, he strengthens you. That's what happened when we That's what happens when we pass the test as well. The test, the trial, the hardship that God places in our life. As we by faith trust, obey, and love our Father, the Holy Spirit works it in our hearts that God now knows. He knows your faith, your fear of Him. And oh, how that comforts us. How that strengthens our faith as it strengthened Abraham. Abraham profited through this declaration of approval. But secondly, he also profited through the type that God had given to him in this test. Did you see that type? The picture. Picture of a lamb or a ram. Abraham was given by God that ram as a substitute for his son. And I saw in the bulletin this morning that Prof. Dykstra preached on that substitute. That substitute, that ram that was a substitute for Isaac, is a picture of the lamb, the Son of God, that was a substitute for us. Abraham saw that. Perhaps not as clearly as we do. But Abraham saw the Christ, the Messiah that was coming, would be a substitute for his sins and for the sins of the whole elect world. And his faith in Christ was strengthened. He saw Christ in this type, in this picture. John 8:56 shows us Christ speaking of Abraham. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham saw Christ's day through this type, and he was glad. His faith in Christ was strengthened through this test. And thirdly, God also strengthened Abraham's faith by reminding Abraham of the many promises that he had made with Abraham in the covenant. That's what we read happening in verses 17 and 18. God reminds Abraham of all the promises that he had made, the promise of the inheritance of that land of Canaan, the conquering of all the enemies in the land of Canaan so that they would take over the gates of their enemies. And then in verse 18 especially, God reminds Abraham, assures Abraham of the seed, that is, the Messiah. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God strengthened Abraham's faith through such a test. Do we not also profit or benefit through the tests or the trials, as we call it, that God places upon us in His providence? Oh, while we are in the midst of it, it's painful. It hurts. It burns. It burns like the fire of that kiln. And we don't see how it's going to profit us in any way. But as we by faith, love, trust, and obey our Father, He will strengthen us. He will make us profit. There are many ways in which He does this. Purposes that we will see perhaps only when we reach heaven's gate. But here is at least one way that He causes us to profit through these tests. He takes away things. He takes away a father, a husband, wife. And He forces us let go of these people and of these things. And we are forced to cling to Jesus Christ and all the benefits that are sure in Him. That's one way. He strengthens our faith in Christ by forcing us to let go, forcing us to love Christ more. May God use His test of Abraham to strengthen your faith. And may He use the tests of your life to strengthen your faith in Him and in Christ Jesus your Lord. Then, may God help us to be witnesses to the world as we go through our trials. Abraham was a witness. He called out and cried out, Jehovah Jireh, on that mountain. Literally meaning, Jehovah will provide. So also as we go through the tests of life, may we always confess and speak and shout, Jehovah Jireh, my God, my covenant God who loves me, will provide. And He has provided a lamb to save us. And He will provide a lamb, the lamb, to save us and bring us to be with Him soon. Amen. Let us pray. Father, give us faith. Strengthen our faith and display our faith for Thy glory. In the name of the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.